Welcome back, everybody. It has been quite a while since we've done an episode of this. In fact, I had to look before I started recording this. It's been about 11 months. 11 months since the last episode of this podcast. Needless to say, I've been very busy, both at home, being a husband and a dad, being a tour manager, doing the YouTube stuff, the Twitch stuff. It's been absolutely hectic, but we're back and I'm super excited. This is episode 28 of the Back Lounge podcast. This episode brought to you by our friends over at Exter. And I'm super excited to bring you this one because it has been a while. Like we said, I haven't really sat down and done one of these episodes. And I even forgot how to do some of this. Like after I recorded this episode or the interview portion of this episode, I realized I didn't have all my normal settings right or anything like that, but you know, it came out good. I'm happy with this. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. In a little bit here, we are going to be talking to vocalist Brittany Hayes, also known as Brittany Slays, from the Canadian power metal band Unleash the Archers. Had a fantastic talk with her about a lot of stuff, but let's do some catching up real quick before we really get going, man, because again, it's been a while. I assume a lot of people that are listening to this podcast follow me along on YouTube and stuff like that, but it's been a wild, I would say, year, actually. I started tour managing Electric Callboy on their North American tour last year, which really quickly turned into me working for them almost full time, finished their European tour earlier this year, and now I've been prepping their upcoming North American tour for the past month and a half, 2 months now. And actually, by the time this episode comes out, I will be back on the road with Electric Callboy. So if you are in North America, check out some of the dates. Not too many this year, just because they booked stuff around the festivals that they got booked for. But if you see it coming near you, come check out the show, man, because it's a blast. It's super fun. And let me know if you're going to be there, because I'd like to meet a lot of you guys. Other than that, personal life, everybody's good. It's been a weird couple weeks. Claire, finally, after 4 years, Claire, my wife, for any of you that are new, she finally got COVID after 4 years. And we didn't even know that that's what it was. She started feeling sick, thought it was a sinus infection. And then she started losing all of her energy and stuff. And I was like, So that's kind of what happened to me when I got COVID. So made her take a test and it was positive. And she's been knocked out for the better part of a week now, like no energy, nothing like that. And then my daughter Ingrid got sick and it's like, I've been just trying to do as much as I can for everybody here. And then also trying to get all the content done in the meantime. And then in the world of music news, it's just been wild lately. Tour announcement after tour announcement. And the big news for everybody really, Slipknot. Slipknot has finally performed their first couple shows with their new drummer, who we all know now, and I think most of us knew this is what it was going to be, but they did officially announce Eloy Casagrande is the new drummer for Slipknot, and I gotta say, man, I'm pretty excited about it. I know there's been a lot of drama with Slipknot over the last few years, actually more than that, if we're being honest, but this is the first time in a while I've been genuinely excited about what's going on with that band because of what Eloy could possibly bring to the table. And with them doing their 25th anniversary of their self-titled album coming out, and their performance at Sick New World was mostly old school stuff with the exception of, I think, one, maybe two songs. Super exciting for a lot of people that are, you know, my age, mid to late 30s, probably early 40s too, that got into this band when they first came out. And one of the big announcements that I was super stoked about was their North American tour. The first leg of that, one of their openers, will be Orbit Culture. And you guys know I love Orbit Culture. Unfortunately, I will probably be in Europe on tour when they're over here, so I probably will not get to see that show. But hopefully if any of you guys make it that are listening or watching, you can let me know how awesome it was, and I'll feel bummed about not making it. But let's kind of intro this and kick it off here, because I want to get Brittany on in a second. But if you're listening to this for the first time, or if you're listening and watching and you're familiar with me but not the band, Unleash the Archers is a Canadian power metal band. I think power metal is the best way to describe it, but they also have some elements of just traditional heavy metal and melodic death metal and stuff in there too. So they've got a little of everything and they're absolutely fantastic, man. I first discovered these guys when I was, you know, doing a lot of reactions on YouTube back in the day and blew me away right from the start. All the musicians are absolutely incredible. But then once I start diving into like the music and stuff like that, I found out that Brittany, their vocalist, is an incredible storyteller. And their past few albums have all been stories that she has written that span multiple albums. So if you really dive into it, it's a big world of just really cool storytelling. But the most important thing with all of that is the songs are awesome. And I really enjoy this band. Unleash the Archers originally formed back in 2007 in British Columbia, Brittany being one of the founding members, and they seem to have been kind of quiet for like the first half of their career, not because of them or anything like that. It's just sometimes it takes bands time to build, but I would say within the past 6-7 years, they've really gotten a lot of people's attention. As of right now filming this, they have 5 albums that they have released. Their last, which was Abyss in 2020, actually won a Juno Award, for Metal Album of the Year, which is huge because the Junos are Canada's big overall music awards. And they were up against bands like Cataclysm, Protest the Hero, Vile Creature, Annihilator, and they won that category, and it's huge. Their sixth studio album, it's been a minute trying to talk on a podcast again. Their sixth studio album is going to be called Phantoma, and that's actually going to come out May 10th, 2024 from Napalm Records. Pre-orders are available. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'll have links in the description here where you can go check out the band on social media, check out their website where you can support them. Pre-order the album if you would like to. But if you're listening on one of the streaming services, you can go to unleashthearchers.com. Pretty much all the info that you need is there. Pre-orders, their tour dates, their social media links, all of that stuff. So I have already pre-ordered this album because I'm very excited about it. But I'm also excited to bring you this interview. So without talking and wasting any more time, actually, I probably will waste a hair more time because really quick before we start, let's talk about our friends over at Exter. For those of you that have been listening and viewing for a while now, you know how I feel about Exter products. I love them. I use one of their backpacks on the road to keep my production stuff and my laptop, and I've been rocking their wallet for quite some time now. In fact, it's my favorite wallet I've ever owned. One of my favorite things about it is that it's half the size of a traditional wallet. Super slim, super sleek, environmentally friendly materials, RFID blocking, and quick card access. At the press of a button, all your cards are right there. Looks super awesome. And Exter has once again stepped up their game, and they are introducing a brand new tracker for their wallets that is compatible with the Find My app in iPhone. This thing is the size of a credit card. It's super slim, it fits right in the back pocket of the wallet, and it works exactly how you'd expect it to. You open the Find My app, you can see on a map where it is, you can set up notifications so that if you go out of range or leave it behind somewhere, it'll alert you. One of the best features that I use regularly when I misplace my wallet around my house, you open the app, you press a button, boom. It makes noise, you can find it wherever it's at. And right now, Exter is having their spring cleaning sale where you can get up to 25% off selected products. And as a bonus to viewers and listeners, if you use my code, TANKTHETECH, all one word, you're gonna get an additional 5% off. So that's up to 30% off. So head on over to partner.exter, that's EKSTER.com/TANKTHETECH2. And don't forget to use my code TANKTHETECH at checkout for up to 30% off. Thank you to Exter for once again sponsoring one of these videos. Thank you to everybody for taking the time to watch and listen to this. And now let's jump in. Well, firing up this podcast again, I guess. I don't even know what episode this is at this point, so we'll fix it when I do stuff later. But welcome to the podcast. Brittany Slays of Unleash the Archers.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Hi. Where are we? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I assume you're in or around Vancouver right now.
Yes. Yeah. No, okay. I am physically in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you guys probably, I was looking at your schedule a couple days ago. I know you guys have a lot of stuff coming up soon, but, you know, funny backstory for this really quick for the people listening is, Brittany's been ready for this podcast for at least 30 minutes now. And I have a sick wife and child at home. I lost track of time and I jumped on here just being like, I am so sorry. But, but I wanted to really quick before we talk music and stuff, that's something I believe you can relate to now because was it last year, right? Was it
2022, October.
2 years ago. Yeah. You had a kid.
I did.
How has the adjustment been for you with like being in a band, the work life, and now being a mom?
It's been really hard, like way harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, everyone out there that has kids knows what I'm talking about. It's a huge change. It is all of a sudden every second and every moment of your life is dedicated to this little person who you are raising and trying to pay attention to constantly and, you know, just give them all the love in the world that you have. So it's been super difficult. If I had known, I probably wouldn't have touched the world outside for 2 years, you know, like, I am just now starting to feel myself again. And, like physically, like singing, we did a couple festivals and some shows last year and I was not like ready for them. And just trying to figure out touring now and everything is like, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's going to be really hard. And it's even worse for us because we're both in the band. We both leave.
And that's, you know? That's what I was going to bring up for anybody that's not familiar. Your partner is your drummer. So, I mean, what does that look like when you guys are going to be going overseas and doing the Powerwolf tour and stuff? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's, you know, staying back home with grandma and grandpa and like, you know, aunties and uncles and everyone coming in, you know, taking a shift.
Yeah.
because she's hard work. She drains you. And,
so what is she be about a year? She's about a year and a half old, right?
She's 18 months now. Yeah.
So I mean, our daughter, just turned 3 last month.
Aww.
And so even though it was a year and a half ago, I still remember those 18 months. And even before that, like our daughter was born, you know, during the pandemic, which in a weird way probably made it easier for us because we couldn't really do anything anyways. So we had like a year at home where we could just focus on her, but there were still those struggles, man. I still have like flashbacks sometimes of just those early sleepless nights where it's like, I mean, and I don't want to complain because I'm the dad. Like I see what my wife went through. And like, one of the things you mentioned that I don't think a lot of people think about too, is like, you said, you're just now starting to feel like yourself. It's like, there are things my wife has told me where she's like, dude, like having a kid just changes you. Like, she's like, there are still things that, and I think in our like Western culture, we're so work driven and stuff that people expect you to just be like, okay, you had a kid, you're back to normal, do your thing.
Yeah. And it's so not that way. Like, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The things that are expected of women, you know, after they give birth, it's nuts. It's insane. It really is. It's just, it wasn't meant to be, you know, be done this way. But, but you know, that's how it is. You know, we were in the studio 6 months after she was born because life goes on. And I wasn't ready for that either. So it's just kind of like, but what are you going to do? You can't disappear. You know, you gotta get back to work. You gotta pay the bills. So, it's been tough, but it's also been the greatest thing ever on the whole planet. Like I've never felt like this before. You know what I mean? You didn't know that you were capable of such love until this thing. So, yeah, it's crazy. But it's awesome. And it's been worth every second.
I love hearing you say that because before every parent listening to this will understand.
Yeah.
Before I was a parent, like before our daughter was born, I thought I could kind of understand. I had other friends with kids, and when they told me what it was like, I was like, yeah, okay. And like, you don't fully understand until you have a kid. And like, it's just, and there are so many things too, that as a person, even work life, personal life, whatever, you have to change. Like, I will fully admit, I've always been a very selfish person, in the sense of, not like everything's about me, but I've been so used to doing things whenever I want to do them. The second you have a kid, that's gone.
Forever. And so, this isn't temporary. So it's like, you think to yourself about, you know, it's just got to get through this, and then I'll be able to sleep in on weekends again. No. You know, like, yeah, okay, so yes, eventually, like in 20 years, when the kid moves out, you know, or whatever. But this is the way it is now. And it just takes your brain a little while to kind of come to terms with that. And that everything has changed forever.
I mean, you guys are going to sleep better on tour than at home, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, I bet.
It happened to me. Like, the first tour I did after our daughter was born, like, I didn't want to tell my wife, but I'm like, actually this been is sleeping. Great. but I mean obviously no, you guys have work to do. But you brought up the studio, and I'm curious, because you said something, so I assume that studio time, you guys are working on Fantoma, which is coming out May 10th, so probably shortly, or after or around this time this podcast comes out. You said you noticed a lot of things that were different when you went back into the studio after having a kid. Did you notice that it was anything, like, I really don't know, did you notice anything different about your voice, or was it different trying to sing, or did you listen to it back and feel like you didn't sound the same as you used to? Did you get any of that, or not really?
A little bit, actually. What's really funny is that I belt a lot in what I do, and there was kind of a point where, you know, you get to the top of your belt and then you have to move it up into head voice, or you have to, you know, do something different, play around with placement and that kind of thing. And I found that I was able to belt higher, and I was like, what happened? You know, like, did my rib cage get bigger or something, you know, or like my diaphragm gets stretched out or something. I honestly have no idea. But I found that points where normally I'd kind of be hitting the ceiling, I was able to push through and continue that sort of pure belt that I do in the lower registers. So I was just like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. Cool. Let's work with this. I don't know if it'll stay that way. I sure hope so, because I wrote it that way on the record. So if I'm struggling up on stage with these high belts, it's like, oh, something, you know, went back in the way where it was before. I definitely noticed that. I don't think like tone or anything like that really changed, but I have heard that voices can change after pregnancy. And I'm not exactly sure if it's something like that, or if it's something else that, you know, other people have experienced or whatever. But other than that, no, just aside from, you know, not feeling totally in shape and that kind of thing. It was just really the belting thing. And that maybe even, I don't know, was just all in my head. Could have been like in a really great place, warm up wise or something, and was just kind of pushing it or something. You know, I'd never done that before, but I think that it might've had something to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of changes to go through. I mean, it's so funny because I never want to complain, because like, obviously I saw my wife go through labor and stuff, and it's like, it was actually as her partner, it was actually kind of difficult for me, like watching her go through that.
Oh yeah.
Like
Scott said the same thing.
Yeah. You don't really think about it. Like, my wife had a very long labor, and I remember like hours and hours and hours into it, I'm like, it was like the first time I really ever thought about it, 'cause I've never been in that situation, but I'm like, this is brutal. Like, why do we do this?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I really want to watch that movie where women just have babies in jars, or like the eggs or whatever. And they just like carry the egg around and like have a little sling for it and stuff. And I'm like, I would do that. I would absolutely build my baby from scratch in a petri dish and watch her grow in an egg after having gone through that, because it sucks. It absolutely sucks. But yeah.
No, I was gonna say, what's crazy that blows my mind, and you might be familiar with this band because fellow Canadians, Walk Off the Earth.
I know the name, but I am not too
Okay.
familiar with them.
So years ago, I toured with them like probably like 3 years or so. And in that 3 year span, their singer was pregnant three times. And
What? Oh.
they performed up until like she was literally like 8 months. And
Whoa.
she has been like the one anomaly that I've seen where I'm just like, how? Like,
Yeah,
after
that's
being with my
crazy.
wife through the pandemic, being pregnant and stuff, I'm like, how? One, why are you doing this to yourself? And two, how are you even able to do it? Because that's just insane. Like,
Yeah, she
I
must have
couldn't.
done so much damage, because and it must have been like a pretty easy first one or something. And so she was just like, heck yeah, let's knock it out of the park. But it's not exactly about the stuff you can, touch, see, and feel. You know what I mean? It's about other things that are going on inside. So, yeah, you're supposed to give it 2 years in between. But women are also amazing and resilient creatures. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was just like, heck yeah, let's get it done, and then I need to move on and keep touring. You know what I mean? It's you got stuff to do. So good on her, for sure.
They never stopped. It was crazy. But yeah, I want to get a little background on Fantoma from you, because for fans of you guys that have been with you for a while, they already kind of know how you guys do your albums. For people that aren't listening, your past few albums have had very specific story elements to them, and not just the specific songs, but the entire course of albums, plural, have been interconnecting stories. Is Fantoma going to be any kind of continuation of a previous story, or is it a whole new one?
Nope, it's all brand new, standalone. A lot of people, because I kind of left Abyss open-ended in case I ever wanted to come back to it. But I was like, okay, I've been working on that for like years. I don't even remember. Started writing the stories for it, like in 2015.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay, I think I'm done with this. So when we sat down in 2021 to write the album, because the pandemic was still going on and we weren't touring, and it was just like, well, what else are we gonna do? Let's do the new album. I sent it to the boys along with a couple other story ideas, and was like, which one do you think would lend itself best to a full length album? And they were like, yeah, I think Fantoma is probably the one. So I was just, yeah, I just kind of was done with that, the Immortal Saga. And it's not that I don't love it and don't think that I have ideas of where it can go. I just was just ready to try something new. And I had had this idea for Fantoma kind of roaming around in my head for a while. I don't exactly remember when I wish it would like keep the archive date or something on the Word document when you first start a thing. Because then I could say like, oh yeah. But yeah, it was just kind of the character, really, Fantoma, the name of the album. I was like, the name of the album will be Fantoma, and it's about Fantoma, and she is an AI entity that's trapped in a computer, but she's sentient and she's human, and she's just wants to be one of them and wants to escape and live out there in the big wide world, which has been decimated by humankind and climate change. And the boys are just like, yeah, let's go for it. And just went from there. But oh, I was gonna say something else, but I can't remember now.
No,
The
I was gonna say, I feel like you're hitting kind of close to home. In another 10 years, this might be a true story instead of just like concept for an album. But we don't have to get depressing right now. So with the storytelling for all your albums, that's one thing I get really into and fascinated with bands that do like full stories with albums. And I know obviously you come up with these ideas and the lyrics and stuff like that. Have you always been into writing? Like, do you sit and write out the actual stories, or do you write them as lyrics as you go?
Yeah, I write it as at first it's always just kind of like a synopsis sort
Yeah.
of, and that's how it starts, and I'll just kind of jot ideas down into a Word doc, and when things hit me or whatever, ideas, even just words like the collective, I was like, oh, that's a thing for sure, I just put that down in the document. And then when it came time to pitch the record, I kind of shape it into something a little bit more feasible for album material. And then once the boys are like, yeah, let's do that, then I separate it out into tracks. So like chapter one, track one, here's what's happening in the story, here's what I'm trying to convey, here's what I want the listener to feel, here's how I want the song to feel, here's some songs as kind of inspiration or just like this kind of vibe, or even sometimes I'll give like a book or whatever, as a reference, and then I'll do like an actual like musical description, like this song should be super airy and ethereal and computerized and blah blah blah, or I'll be like, this song should be just a heavy hitter, fast, hard, in your face, or like I think I said the word industrial on this record like three
Oh,
times,
yeah.
three or four times, because I just wanted kind of a more raw sound. And then the boys take that and they write all the riffs with that. So the story, actual story side of things, comes way, way later when I'm writing the lyrics. And that's always the very last thing that I do. So that's when the kind of the nitty-gritty gets all sorted out. And I know what's happening and what I want to say, but kind of how I say that is the last thing that I do. And I actually wrote the yearbook after the lyrics for this one, and even more details kind of came through in that, and it changed a little bit from my initial, outline that I sent to the boys. Not as much death at the end of this one as there was originally,
Yeah.
but yeah, it just kind of forms over time, and sometimes even the boys will send a riff, and I'll be like, oh, that doesn't really fit, but that's a cool riff. Like maybe I could change this part, to have it be a little less this and more this, and then that way I can fit this riff in there. So sometimes that changes things a little bit as well.
Yeah. I feel like the way that you just described everything would probably make the actual writing process a little more challenging than a lot of other bands because, I mean, it's been years since I've been in a band, and I'm not trying to make it sound like it's easy, but when you have a concept and you're actually kind of telling your band exactly the vibe you need to tell this story, it makes it more challenging not only for you, but also for the band to kind of match what you're feeling in your head already, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
That's.
It's yeah, there's moments where I'm just kind of like, oh no, sorry, this one's not gonna make the cut,
Yeah.
and the boys, and they worked like so hard on this song and spent all this time on it, and that's usually why I kind of just suggest just to send the riff first before you spend hours turning it into a song, because yeah, there is definitely times when I've been like, sorry, man, like this is super rad, but it's not this album. And we just kind of put it aside and save it for something else. Because it is super important to me that the music tells the story just as much as the lyrics do. And that the whole album feels like one cohesive piece, and that it's all moving in the same direction, and it's all working towards the same goal of telling this story. So, Andrew and I have done this three times now, using it this way. But Nick was new to it, so he was kind of sending stuff, and I was like, "This doesn't really work." I was like, "This doesn't really work. This doesn't really work." And then he was like, "Maybe I should read the outline." And I was like, "Yes."
Bass players, man.
He's actually a guitar player. He is a guitar
No,
player.
I know he is in his other band, but I say that jokingly because I am a
Right.
bass
No,
player
oh, we
too.
say it all the time.
Yeah.
We say it all the
Like, that's so
time.
funny. And the thing about your music that I find so cool, and there are other bands like this too, but I discovered you guys, early on when I was doing reactions all the time on my YouTube. And on a first listen, it's like it's awesome. Like when somebody discovers your music, it is important that the song gets them. But after I heard a few more songs, and then some of your fans were telling me about the background of everything, it's like then you can really fully immerse yourself into the story. So like by the time I was listening to the newer stuff, I actually think I specifically remember like the first time I heard The Wind That Shapes the Land. It was like, that was an experience, man, because by that time I was fully into the story and knew what was going on. And I'm just like, and I think the moment also that I realized the little production elements that you were doing too with, you know, like you telling a story, but also playing a voice and then Grant doing harsh vocals to portray a voice. I was like, there's so many cool production layers to that, that I feel like at face value, it might be missed on some people. But once you really dive in and see that, it's like, that's what makes music so cool to me, is like when you can really dive in and like see all those little layers and the story in there. And, you know, there's people in the that love the genre for that. And I think that probably comes with the territory too, because like, you know, it's no secret to your fans, like you guys are into like D&D and a bunch of other stuff. So it's like that fantasy / sci-fi element and all that stuff is always there. And it's so cool to portray it in music via storytelling as well.
It's really important though, to make it so that if someone doesn't want to dive into it like that, though, that they can just listen to the song and, and, you know, just bebop along and it's all good, because, not everyone deep dives on that kind of stuff. And so we always try and just kind of ride this line of tell the story, but also make it so that it's a song that can stand on its own if someone just hears it in a playlist, and also make it so that they don't listen to the lyrics and are like completely lost and are like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I thought this was about this or whatever. And then, you know, you listen a little closer and you're kind of like, what the heck is she talking about? You know, so you don't want to go too far into that world. I had to do that a little bit on Fantoma, unfortunately, just with the subject matter, because there's only so much you can dance around, you know, the word computer. Yeah. So it kind of just, but.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the entry level. Like I was saying, like to this day, one of my favorite songs of yours, that's constant repeat still my rotation, is like Soulbound. Oh, and when I first heard that song, I knew nothing about the story. I just was like, this is an ass ripping song. Like, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys do pull that off well. Like, I know a lot of people that probably, like you said, don't deep dive, because that's not for everybody. I was really meaning like, for me personally, I really enjoy that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cause there's probably,
and I love that people like you exist, because otherwise, you know, like, who the hell am I writing for? Yeah.
But there's other bands too, that I think people glance over, like, not to pump air in anybody else's tires or anything, but like a band I'd been listening to forever, from Finland, called Assemble the Chariots.
Oh,
kind of interesting. Unleash the Archers, Assemble the
Chariots. Yeah, Assemble the Chariots. We should join up, and we would be unstoppable.
they're more of like a kind of symphonic, like technical deathcore band. And when I started like diving into their music, their singer at one point had messaged me on Instagram, was like, thanks for checking us out, man. It's super cool. Like, and he started telling me about the concept of the album, and it's almost the same as you. This dude literally wrote an entire like storybook universe and all these characters and a plot and everything. And all of their songs are about that, you know, universe and plot and stuff. And I feel like with a genre like deathcore, that could easily be missed by a lot of people. They're just listening to it because it's heavy and they love it and stuff. But it's like, those are the little things in music that I really love.
That's cool.
So for the new album, and we've already said, but I'll say it again, it's coming out on May 10th from Napalm Records. I believe 3 singles so far. The last one just dropped yesterday?
Tuesday.
Okay, so 2 days ago from the time we're recording. Seeking Vengeance. The first one we got, I want to spend a minute talking about, because it goes to a bigger topic. The first single from this album was called Green and Glass. And for this video, for people that aren't aware, the very first part of the video, before it even starts, there's like, you know, text on screen that says, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what it said, but it said like AI was used for some of the animation for this artwork, but the actual artwork was, you know, licensed by an actual artist that knew what this is for and stuff like that. So for the lore of it, I think that's super cool that the concept is AI based and you implemented a little bit of AI and stuff like that. But that turned into a weird situation for a minute. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, like, really the gist of it really short is, for people that are listening that don't know, is that there are a lot of people that are very against AI, no matter what it's used for, regardless of how it was used or anything like that. And just the fact that you guys used AI at all, even as After Effects and stuff, there was a very vocal, but I would say minority of people that were very loud on Twitter and were like kind of coming at your guys' throats. And for me seeing that, like, I couldn't imagine how you'd feel after releasing something that's your art and then people just doing that. Like, what was, walk me through that. Like, what was that day or two like for you guys seeing that?
Oh, it was terrible. It was like the worst time of our lives, really. And it just, it destroyed the release of the first song from this new album that we were so excited about. Destroyed it. So it was no longer about the music. It was about AI. And yes, the album is about AI. And I wrote it purposefully.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to use AI in an album about AI. And the thing is that when I wrote this album, ChatGPT and Midjourney and Sora and all that stuff, they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so the AI that I was singing about was like, Terminator, you know, Skynet, and you know, Data from Star Trek and Blade Runner, and and just like all the cool androids out there that have, you know, gained awareness and consciousness and are fighting against their oppressors. You know, that was really where it was coming from. And then humanity did exactly what they did in all the movies.
Yeah.
And they wanted to throw all the AI in the garbage, just, you know, it's iRobot, like times a million. And I just was like, oh, okay. So we're mad at AI, like actually in real life. I didn't realize that everyone didn't look at it like a science fiction trope like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just, it was just really surprising. And we knew about the controversial nature of generative AI, and that's why we licensed the artwork that was used to, I guess you'd call it, paint the footage that we had filmed in the style of our graphic artist. And so we were like, okay, woohoo, you know, like we did it. We used AI ethically, but it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. The fact that we said AI at the beginning of the video just set people off.
Sorry, you just made me think of something that's so crazy to think about. It's kind of, this whole thing seems like it's kind of a byproduct of how fast AI as we know it now has evolved. Because like you said, when you wrote it, you were thinking about it in a different way. But over the last couple of years, it's changed so fast that people probably couldn't, those people, those small few people that were being very loud about it, probably couldn't even see that, like, Blade Runner, Terminator stuff anymore. They just see now and went after it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, and you know, I've been having that discussion like over and over again in interviews, just trying to explain to people that are like, why would you write about AI? You know? And it's like, it's so mundane and boring. And it's like, no, it's not. It was cool once.
Yeah.
You know? Just because it's getting shoved in our faces 24/7 now. No, Meta, I don't want to ask your AI bot anything. I want to search. I just want to search Facebook for this, you know what I mean? It was just kind of, it just sucked. It really sucked. The whole thing sucked. And there was people, there were some people that were very vocal about it, and they gave us a reason why. They said, you know, I'm an artist. I am fearful for the future because of AI. And, you know, and I hate that you did this, you know, kind of a thing. And it's like, okay, I totally get where you're coming from, because it is terrifying. AI is going to change a lot of stuff. It's for everyone, not just artists. Mm-hmm. Absolutely everyone. We're all going to, you know what I mean? Like car manufacturers. You think that people are going to be putting those pieces together, in 10
Yeah.
years? No, absolutely not. And it's all going to change, and it's going to change fast. Like, look at, like you just said, over the last whatever it was, three years since we wrote the album, it's been, and it's just going to be exponential, this rapid change. So I totally get it. What I didn't get was just the sheer vitriol of some people
Yeah.
that were, that's the part that I hated, and it was people treating us like there weren't humans behind it. Like, we didn't put so much work into that video. Like, no, I'm sorry. We didn't just type a prompt into a program and it spat out a vi music video that mimicked the words of the song and then told the entire story of the record perfectly from beginning to end. Like, that's not possible. So we recorded every second of that on green screen. That's me. I play Fantomine in
Yeah.
that video. And we're all the council members. And I also play the antagonist, Quora, who we meet, who kind of destroys her friend there in the middle of the biome. And so it just sucked that nobody was willing to stop for a second and
Yeah.
look at it from our point of view, that it was this is a creative thing that we did, and we put it out there. And yeah, like, when you do that as an artist, as a musician, as whatever, you expect to get people that are going to say that your stuff sucks. Yes,
Sure.
absolutely. It comes with the territory for sure. But this was like just sheer outright hatred. And that was what really took us aback a bit, I think. And yeah, honestly, I did not speak a word about that music video afterwards, because I was just so shaken by it all, and still to this day I feel like it's a taboo kind of a thing. When, yes, the program that was used, Stable Diffusion, it does have some copyright issues, as most generative AI does, and we totally get where people are coming from, because you look at something like, someone creating AI imagery with Midjourney, and you're an artist, you're combing through those looking for a semblance of what you've done, of your work. Like, hey, does that look kind of like how I draw, this, that, or the other kind of a thing? And is it using my work without my permission? So I completely understand where the art community is coming from, the illustrator community. It's changing things drastically. It was the kind of the people that were out of left field
Yeah. It was,
that were
I mean,
unexpected.
and I want to dive more into the people thing because this is something I've been talking about for like a while now. But the things that when I was watching this unfold that blew my mind were how extreme people started taking it. It's like because you guys said you used AI for some of the effects and stuff, people were like, there were literally people that were like, they just admitted that they wrote their album with AI. And I was like, no, they didn't. Like, where are you getting that from? And how picky and choosy people have been over AI blows my mind because about, I don't know if it's because you're more in that traditional like metal and kind of power metal scene, and maybe those fans aren't into that, but we saw last year Nick Nocturnal with his project with Andy from Monuments, they released a video that they used AI for like the entire background. And nobody said one word about it. They're like, oh, this is sick. And now we've got the project that German engineering team is doing where they're literally have AI bands where they're training in AI. And I've seen people split on that. There are some people that are like, this is really cool. There are other people that are like, I'm never listening to AI anything. I don't care what anybody says. But when I see stuff like this happen, it brings up this about 20 years ago. Chimera had a song and documentary called The Dehumanizing Process. And that phrase has always stuck with me because I feel like where we're at with our society, especially with online culture, it has been a dehumanizing process for a lot of people because it's so easy to sit online for a lot of people and see whether it doesn't matter anymore if it's celebrities or people that are just public figures. It can be anybody at this point. people aren't looking at others like they're human beings anymore. They're just mm-hmm. a person on a screen that they don't think about anybody's feelings or the work that they're doing, and they just go. And
yeah.
I also think in the time we're in now too, people just love to get fired up about things. So that's yeah. just a perfect, oh, yeah. it's a perfect storm of everything. So that when that happened, I was just like, with your music video and the way that people are online, it's just a wrong place, wrong time thing where there were people that probably weren't even fans of your bands that just heard about it and just went in.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I feel like some of the reactions were said in such a way that it was as if we didn't exist. You know, like as human beings behind the band, it was like Unleash the Archers is this entity that is coming for your jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, wait a minute. You know, we are just a tiny Canadian band in a really super nerdy niche genre of metal that still has day jobs that are going to be probably destroyed by AI as well. Like, we are here, we exist. And I find that is the case a lot of times on the internet, which is why I just try and stay away from it for the most part. I mean, you can't really, because you're in a band and you have to have a social media presence and whatever. Yeah. But I never read comments, and I don't get too involved in things like that, because people just post like you're not reading it, and like they don't think about it before they post. They don't think for a second before they post. Just kind of cruel and unnecessary things. And it's almost like they are no longer human. They're just like a posting machine that's looking for clicks, views, shares, and whatever. And it's what's the most incendiary thing I can say right now, kind of a thing. As opposed to being like, if I were an artist and I had just put my heart and soul into this thing that got put out on the internet for a few thousand people to hear, how would I feel if my comment was, this is trash? You know, how would I feel? Maybe I won't post this. That's all. It like literally takes 1 second. Like the other day, I was listening to a new album from a very large artist that was recently put out. And I was just like, oh man, this is not good. I was like, I wish I could tweet about this, but I just would never do that, because I know what it is. It doesn't matter if you're, you get listened to by billions of people or 20 people. Hearing someone say that what you've done is garbage is, you know, there's a chance that they might see that. And so you just don't. And you're also influencing the people around you to be into, you know, be in a negative space.
Yeah.
And I'm just not the kind of person that wants to share hatred and negativity on the internet anymore. It needs to end. Yeah. Why? Because it gets shared. It goes viral on Twitter.
Yeah.
You are destroying lives with this stuff, and maybe not destroying them, but you're certainly giving people shitty days, weeks, months.
Yeah.
There are suicides because of this stuff. Cyberbullying is a thing. Mm-hmm. And yet everyone is okay with just perpetuating this world of, let's just clamber on the next person, you know, and cancel culture should exist in some instances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You get a guy that's preying on his fans who are underage and he's drugging them and whatever. Like, that guy needs to get canceled.
Of course.
Or, you know, say women doing the same thing. It's absolutely. But when you just don't like someone's art, just move on with your day. Go like, so what? You choosing to take that time to post to say, oh, I hate this album, blah blah blah, this person is so untalented, yada yada yada, you're just putting negative energy, and then that's gonna come right back at you. You're just gonna get posts and shares of other people, negative opinions, anger, negativity, whatever, jealousy, any of that stuff. And then you think about it and you're kind of ruminating on it. You're like, what's the next thing I can say? Where else can I share this to? How many, you know what I mean? And you're just perpetuating this shitty place. Why would you want to do that? I do not understand. Because that's like my number one rule is you never engage the trolls. And I've tried to tell my friends all the time. Sometimes they come to me and they'll like screenshot a comment and they'll be like, Brittany, I really need to reply to this person. And I'll be like, don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I've run into the same stuff. I mean, from doing YouTube, I think also because of how easy it is for people online to become like what people say, like influencers, like I hate that term. But like for somebody like me, like I have a moderately sized YouTube channel and I stream on Twitch and stuff like that. I think there's a misconception that when people see like a channel like mine, they see six figures and subs on YouTube and they're like, oh, that person's making like hundreds of thousands of dollars on YouTube and stuff. Where the reality of it is like, dude, my wife and my daughter and I, we live a very like middle class life. Like we still have the same problems as everybody else. And that goes for any person that's of any kind of fame online. Like one artist that I legitimately enjoy that might surprise some people is Lizzo. My daughter loves her music. She wants to listen to it all the time. I don't even know why she has social media.
Right?
Dude, the comments on her Instagram posts or anytime she's mentioned in the media, people are going after her weight and her image and all this stuff. And I was like, okay. And people try and defend it by being like, oh, whatever. She's a millionaire and she's famous. Who cares? Like, it's not bothering her. I'm like, I guarantee you it's bothering her. Like,
oh, yeah.
But we're human. It bothers us. It doesn't matter how much money or fame or somebody has. Like, you can only take so much. And I've pretty much gotten to the point online where like my community on YouTube and Twitch is great. Like 99% of it like is really nice people. The people that do leave shitty comments are people that like come by for one video, but there's only been one time on YouTube where I did a video. People that have been following my channel for a while know what I'm talking about. It is not available anymore, but I did a video on Nightwish a few years back discussing their a band that I love. But I was discussing how they handle the like reaction community on YouTube from a management standpoint. They brag about how they're, I did a video talking about how they brag about how they're the most reacted to band on YouTube, but at the same time, their management is having all of the videos either, copyright claimed or they're issuing strikes. Like they've told their label never release anything ever. So I kind of just called out the hypocrisy in that. And,
God, that is interesting.
The first few hours of comments on that, I literally, I'm not kidding you. I don't know if I've ever been that depressed about something ever. Like people were not all of their fans. It was again, the loudest minority of them.
Yeah.
They were saying the most disgustingly awful stuff in YouTube comments, not just coming after me, saying horrible things about my wife, my kid, like saying basically death threat stuff. Like all, and I'm like, that was the first moment for me personally that it's ever been directed at me where I'm like, this sucks. Like the internet sucks. Like I turned off all of my technology for like 2 or 3 days and was like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. Like it's because again, the internet has made it easy to dehumanize the people that you're addressing online. And that's why I always remind myself, I've had people give me a hard time when I check out music on like Twitch and YouTube where they're like, you know, you're not being honest. And I was like, why? They're like, because you've never had a video where you've listened to a band and you're like, this sucks. And I was like, and I never will. Because even if I don't like something personally, when I listen to music, I find it more enjoyable to find the positives in everything I listen to rather than searching for the negatives. So even if it's a song I don't like, I will still always say, hey, this video was really cool. There were production elements in this that were really cool. Like the mixing was really good. I just didn't enjoy the song for me personally, but like, that's as hard as I'll get on something because again, there are people that are putting their like heart and soul and time into this art. And the truth of the matter is, if I don't like it, there's going to be a bunch of people out there that do.
Yeah, so just sure.
Because I do. And that's another problem with people online. They think I don't like this and nobody else should either.
Their opinion is fact. Yeah.
Yep. And that is a bad line that has been crossed with everything lately online.
Everything. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times it's easy to forget that everyone has opinions and everyone is entitled to their opinion. And so technically, yeah, no opinion is wrong. But when you go out there thinking that yours is the only opinion, yeah, you just get yourself into trouble, and you can kind of be wearing blinders a little bit, you know, when it comes to discussing, especially music, with other people, which can be such a divisive topic, you know,
yeah,
because everyone has their favorites and the stuff that they hate and the stuff that they love, and it's just, yeah, it's a tough place to be out there on the internet, and yeah, it doesn't matter if you're big or small. You know, I was watching an interview with Ariana Grande and she was complaining about it. And she sees it. She sees those tweets, you know.
Yeah, of
don't
course.
Be don't be stupid. She sees it. Yeah. But the weird dehumanizing part was that I can't remember what I was watching about why I was watching this. Like, I like Ariana. I do. I like her stuff. But I'm not like let me figure out what Ariana's up to today.
Yeah.
But she was getting people tweeting at her because she was with like a new guy and it was like really fast from like her previous husband or whatever. And everyone's like, did you cheat on your husband? You need to tell us. Like, the world deserves to know. And it's like, I'm sorry, are you listening to yourself right now?
Yeah.
If you had cheated on your husband and just gone through a whole bunch of shit, probably, you know, millions of dollars and settlements and et cetera, whatever, blah, 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 hard times. Maybe it was, you know, an accident. You were just having a hard time in life or whatever, but maybe you meant to do it. Doesn't matter. Would you be posting about it on Twitter? Just cheated on my husband today. What do you think? Like, no.
Yeah.
Why do you think that she, just because she's a fucking celebrity superstar, she doesn't owe you anything?
It's because like, I think, yeah, no, you're right. Famous or not, nobody owes anybody anything.
But right?
I wonder.
Unhinged.
I don't know if this is, I'm onto something here. Well, not onto something, but like, I've never felt that way. But I feel like there's a lot of times where there are people that are probably feeling bad about themselves. And the way that they're going to make themselves feel better is see this person who's super famous with millions of dollars and be like, find something to tear them down about and be like, mm-hmm. Oh, see, I'm better than that person. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. Like, the boundaries that are being crossed. Like, I had a guy about 2 months ago. I don't know if they tried to personally contact me, but there was a person that went through my Instagram, and I don't know how they did this. I think maybe you can get contact emails for what email people registered their Instagram was. This person sent an email to about 100 email addresses that they pulled from like people that I follow on Instagram. And sent them an email and was like, I'm desperately trying to get a hold of Tank the Tech. Can you please contact him and tell him I'm trying to get a hold of him and give my email? This list was insane. It was it was producers in the music industry, band members in the industry, music video directors in the industry. Then it was stuff like my wife, a couple of our neighbors, my daughter's preschool teacher. They all got this.
How did they even get these emails?
I guess on Instagram, there's a way where you can see like what email address is connected to Instagram.
Oh, I profiles. Think you have to like turn that off. Ooh, yeah. Everybody make sure that that
on Instagram right now. But I remember after that happened, I kind of put like an Instagram reel out and I was like, I just want to be very clear about something. Like, and the guy finally emailed me directly and was just like, oh, I was just trying to get you to react to a band. And I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous, dude. You needed to do that to get my attention. Like, I was like, I just want to make it clear here that like, yeah, you guys watch my content. You support what I'm doing. And that's awesome. And I love you guys for it. But I'm like, at the end of the day, I don't owe you anything more than that. And nobody does. No artist, no movie star, celebrity, athlete, nothing. They are all people that have mm-hmm. private lives and families and friends. And mm-hmm. most importantly, feelings. You know, so it's the more and more the internet evolves and goes on, the more and more I'm just like, I don't even know if we should be doing like, turn it off for a week and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Right. We were just talking about that the other day where we're like, the power went out in our on our block, and it was really unexpected. And we're just like, oh, is it the apocalypse? And we're and like the three of us were in the room, we're like, yay!
Like we
Can
had
we
that
just get an
happen.
EMP to take out the internet forever and ever?
We
Just a
just
little
had that
while.
happen here recently where our power went out for like half a day. And you don't realize how much you use like the internet for until like it goes out. But I was like, wow, what should we do right now? I don't know. Let's just go outside and like do whatever because there's nothing else to do. Well, I know you're packed full of media and stuff, but before I let you go on, I wish we had more time, but that is my fault. you guys do have a lot of really cool stuff coming up that I want to bring up to people. I know you've got some shows in Canada and stuff, but starting in June, you guys are going to over to Australia and New Zealand. Is that your first time? Yes.
We're
Oh,
very excited.
I bet.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whirlwind. We're like playing six shows in Australia, and Australia is quite large, and all the cities are very far apart. So we're gonna be flying every morning to each city, and it's gonna be
How many days
but
off do you have in that six show time frame?
none. We land. Oh, we have a day off when we land, and then it's just boom, 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 boom. And then a day of travel, a day off, and then it's the New Zealand shows and then home. So it's gonna be nuts. But we're so excited. That's why we're like, we don't even care. It's so worth it. It's so worth it.
The first time I toured Australia, it was the same thing. We came in from, we flew in from like a show in Manila, and then we had six shows in a row with no days off. And then we had a fly date to Auckland and a day off, and then a couple New Zealand shows. And I, like you said, it's so new and exciting that you kind of don't even think about like when you look back on it when it's done, you're gonna be like, wow, this schedule was insane. But in the
Oh, we
moment,
know
you're
it's insane.
Yeah, in the moment you're gonna love it.
We're just hoping that like a whole 2 weeks of adrenaline is gonna get us through everything.
It will.
But yeah, we're very excited. We've had fans down there since our first album came out in 2009. Like, I'm not even joking. I have been handwriting bubble mailers with CDs in them since, for a long time, sending them down there. So we're very excited to
That's
finally get
awesome.
to play for all of our Australian fans. Yeah, it's gonna be rad.
And then after that, I see on your schedule, like you get a couple weeks off and then European festival season starts. And there's some great ones on here. There's a couple that I will actually be doing as well, but I think we're on different days. That would have been kind of cool to see you guys. However, I don't know if Grant or anybody told you this yet.
I think so.
So you guys are supporting Powerwolf on their US tour. I will be filling in as their tour manager for the first week of that, so we will all finally get to meet. Like,
I'm super stoked.
I've been talking to Grant online for like 3 years now. For anybody
Nice.
listening, Grant Unleash the Archers guitar player. And it's like, dude, I've had him on the podcast. We text and talk, and I'm like, I looked I when I got asked to do that, I was like, I toured with Powerwolf last year, and they're great guys. But my first thought was like, holy shit, Unleash the Archers is support on this. Like, I'll actually
You're like,
finally
who
get to
cares
see
about
them.
Powerwolf?
I was like, I'll actually finally get to not only see the show, but actually like meet them in person, which, I will say the one positive over for the music industry over the pandemic is that it, because of the online stuff, it seems like everybody got really connected. Like, everybody kind of knows each other now.
No, I love that too. I love the whole Twitch community just changed the fabric of heavy metal, I think, especially in North America. So it's been super awesome just getting to connect with everybody and like making this cool little corner of the internet for ourselves. But so I have two questions for you then for this tour. First one, will you do the run around with the camera thing backstage during our shows like you were doing online? I was watching your YouTube videos, like your little tour
Oh,
vlog, and
no
I was like,
way.
this is awesome. I loved it. I thought
So
that that was
the honest answer is I don't know
so cool.
because I kind of brought it up to their management, but I will like I don't think they would have an issue, but I'm gonna be real. I can't think of a lot of bands that would be as comfortable and fine with a camera backstage like that than the more than Electric Callboy. Like, I couldn't believe the amount of freedom. Like, they're like, you can roll that thing all day. Like, we
That's
don't
awesome.
care. And I don't know if I'll be doing that. I would like to because I think people would enjoy that. but that's still something I need
I'm
to.
sure you'll be super busy too. TM is quite different than teching,
Yeah,
but
I mean, if I'm being honest though, like I'm not really doing much. Their normal TM that's coming after the first few shows, he's
He's
advancing and doing
already doing all
everything.
the
I'm literally just there to on the day of. I mean,
Oh, that's good.
I don't want to like downplay being a tour manager, but in this specific situation, it gets no easier than this.
Yeah. So you're just going to be like a body on
Exactly.
site. Okay, well then that's good for question number two, which is, will you join Team Shitty, which is
Oh
the part of Unleash the Archers that drinks and parties all the time, like the
my.
whole tour.
I was trying to figure out how to say this, but everybody listening already knows. I don't drink.
Oh, okay, perfect. So you're
Yeah.
on my
I'll
team.
party
Yay.
though.
We'll
Like
play video. I don't drink either, but I stay up late and I party and I get the music
Same.
pumping and all that sort of
Yeah.
stuff, but then I just sneak away and go to bed
Yep.
early.
I hang with everybody, but like I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't like, and it's funny because I'll still go out. Like it's so funny. I've had people are like, how are you like sober, but you still go to the bars and stuff with everybody? I'm like, because it's fun. I just don't drink.
Yeah, no.
Like,
You know, when you're a night owl, when you're like a nocturnal being, none of that even matters. 'Cause like there were points there where I was absolutely like could not have a drop because it just would mess me up way too much for the show the next day. But
yeah.
I'd be up till 3 with everybody else and
Same.
I'd be shutting the bar down. Like if it was a bar, like a bar show and they would let the bar stay open, I'd
Yeah.
be in there for sure, like the whole time. And so it's totally about just whether or not you live the night
Yeah,
as
and
others might,
that's me. I mean, I'm a total night owl. Obviously, you know as well as I do, like being a parent at home will change your schedule a lot. But I mean, I'm used to those, like especially that first tour I did with Electric Callboy. It was like we had known each other from being online, but we didn't know each other. So like that entire first tour, there was like groups of us up till like 4 in the morning just in the front lounge, just talking and like hanging out. And it's like it was literally like the bus would start rolling somewhere at like midnight, and then the next thing I know, I'm like, fuck, it's 4:30 a.m. We should probably get some sleep because we load in 4 hours. Like,
Oh shit.
yeah, like, but those are good times, man. Those are some of the
Totally.
best times on the road, just hanging out and doing
The friends
whatever.
that you make on the road are
Yep.
friends forever, for
Yep.
sure.
Yep. And I mean, when you're on the road, I mean, in your situation, you get to spend time with your significant other. But I've joked that, I mean, dude, the first year I got married, dude, there were people I spent more time on the road with on buses than time that I spent with my own wife. So, like, that just you get used to your friends and your road family, and that's just kind of what it is. So,
That's life.
before we go, first of all, thank you for your time. I appreciate this a ton. And I always like to ask before I let you go, as somebody in the music business in a band, and specifically related to your band, Unleash the Archers, what are some of the best ways or the best way that people listening could support you guys directly, whether it's financially or not, going to a show, buying an album, what helps the best in your opinion?
Indie Merch Store is a great place to buy merch. They definitely are extremely supportive of us, and we've got a lot of stuff up there, especially all Fantoma related merch up there. So that's great. Bandcamp is also a great place to order from if you like digital product. They give artists the best cut out there for sure.
Awesome.
Like, I'm not a physical person, so I definitely am on Spotify, but and that's fine too. Like I get it, I'm a Spotify person. So but if you really want to support, then downloading off of Bandcamp is great. And I mean we've got we're on Twitch, but we haven't streamed in a while. So if you want to like give us a follow there, that's cool too. Come to our Discord. We love hanging out there with everybody. That's where probably we hang out the most, actually. And
I'm on there.
Oh, awesome.
It's been a while since I've had time to really jump in there, but like I'm definitely on there from
Right?
time to time.
Yeah. It's funny because I usually slip in at like midnight when I'm finally getting into bed and I'm like, anybody here? And then like a couple of the Kiwis will pop up or something, and people from like the Eastern European, the furthest along in the time zones will probably be
Yeah,
in
because I
there as
mean,
well.
Central
But
European time from you is 9 hours. So if it's midnight, it's 9 a.m. and people are going to work, you know?
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of, I think that's probably the best places. Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. Well, for anybody watching this or listening on YouTube, I'll have links to everything that was mentioned and more in the description of the video. If you're watching on or watching, listening on Spotify, rather, stick around once Brittany leaves and I'll list out some of those links that you can go to. But I'll let you get to your next media obligation, but seriously, cannot wait for the new album. Again, Phantoma is out May 10th, 2024 from Napalm Records. And Brittany, thank you so very much for being here. This was fun.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. Had a
Of
great time.
course. Well, stay safe at the festivals and in Australia, and I will see you in August.
Awesome. Can't wait.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Well, a huge thank you one more time for Brittany for joining us for this one, man. I love these conversations. It actually made me forget how much I love doing these podcast episodes, especially when I get somebody on here that's as real as Brittany. I mean, she was willing to dive into, you know, like personal life stuff that's been going on, the drama that happened with the AI, and there's some real important things to think about there, man. I mean, this is something that I've been preaching to my listeners and viewers for a while. Sometimes in the age of social media that we're in, we sometimes forget that artists, celebrities, other people, whether they're content creators or people on Instagram, like we're all human beings. We all have feelings. And sometimes that gets lost in translation with some people. And they just, again, that dehumanization of people, like people don't think about what they're saying to others, you know, especially with this situation with Unleash the Archers. I mean, this is just a humble band from Canada that, in my opinion, didn't deserve any of that backlash they got. And according to Brittany, you can see how that made them feel. But it's just something to think about for everybody. And, you know, one thing I do want to say is this community that's built up around my channel and stuff has always been awesome for the most part, man. 99% of the people I've interacted with on my YouTube channel, on our Discord, on Twitch, fantastic people who I've gotten to know very well in most cases. So I have nothing to complain about on my end, even though every now and then, yes, I do encounter those kinds of people online as well. But I think we can all relate to that. Maybe just keep it in the back of our minds, you know? It's like that old adage, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. Sometimes that's easy to forget, but I'm super excited about this new album. If this podcast comes out when I hope it does, it'll be tomorrow from the first day release of this. So if you're listening to this on May 9th, the album will come out tomorrow. If you're listening to it later, it's already out. Go check it out. I've pre-ordered mine. I can't wait to listen to it. And going off of what Brittany was saying about how you can support the bands, if you're watching on YouTube, again, I'll have links to all of the stuff that she mentioned and other places that you can find their social media and stuff like that. But if you're listening on a streaming service, again, you can go to unleashthearchers.com. That gives you a lot of the information where you can see their tour dates, social media, pre-order the album. But as she brought up, Indie Merch Store. Indie Merch Store is a fantastic website that does support artists very, very well. I'm actually taking a peek at their website right now. They've got some limited edition vinyls of the new album. They've even got cassettes up there. Man, it's so funny to me that cassettes are making a comeback as like, you know, collector's items at this point. But if you go to indiemerchstore.com, search for Unleash the Archers, all their stuff is there. And Unleash the Archers is also on Bandcamp. You can go to unleashthearchers.bandcamp.com. That's another way that you can directly support the band. And you can also check out the Napalm Records store, which is their record label, which also supports them as well. So one more time, thank you to Brittany, and thank you to every single one of you listening. I don't know when the next one of these is going to be because, as I mentioned, when this comes out, I will be on tour with not many breaks. Once we finish North America, we go to Japan, then I come home for like a week, then I go back to Europe for summer festivals. Like, I don't know when I'm going to have time to do this. Maybe we'll do them on the road, or maybe I'll just do a quick one when I have a day off somewhere. But I'm already super excited about more episodes of the podcast. So hopefully you guys are enjoying it. And if there's any thing that you think could make this better, let me know, because I'm always open to suggestions, man. I listen to a lot of other podcasts too, and I'm always trying to get ideas on how I can make this better, whether I talk more about music news before we get into interviews or make the interviews longer or whatever. Let me know your thoughts if you're watching on YouTube. You can also hit me up on social media and stuff like that. And speaking of social media, if you want to follow along, my handle on just about everything is at TankTheTech. If you want to join us on our Discord server, which is a fantastic community, you can go to discord.gg/TankTheTech. I also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/TankTheTech, usually a few days a week. But again, once I go on tour, it's going to be a little sparse. And if you're not already watching this on YouTube or following me along, you can go to youtube.com/TankTheTech for a lot of videos. I'll have vlogs while I'm on tour so you can see behind the scenes and how we operate there. But I think that's about it. So for episode 28 of the Back Lounge podcast, thank you so much to Brittany Slays from Unleash the Archers. Thank you to Exter for sponsoring this episode. And most importantly, thank you to every single one of you guys that watched this or listened. Wherever you are in the world, be safe, be kind to each other. I love you all, and I will be back very soon with another episode of the Back Lounge podcast.